This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Well, good morning. I want to start off this morning by asking you a question or to think about something. And that is, what are the defining marks or the characteristics of a Christian? How are we supposed to be known? Perhaps another way of thinking about it is, what marks us as a good or a faithful follower of Christ? Now, I'd hazard a guess that the gospel lesson may have clouded or skewed your answers, but I wonder how many of you said love, or more importantly, how many of us would have said love before hearing this passage. I know as a priest that people come and talk to me or want to talk about all kinds of things. They come wanting to discuss prayer or scripture or discernment or grief or faith or forgiveness. But love is seldom on the list of topics unless it's a couple looking to be married. This passage this morning comes from the long farewell discourse found in John. It's a goodbye sermon or parting words from Jesus to the disciples on the night before his crucifixion. It's a last moment, a last opportunity for teaching and direction. So we can expect that Jesus was particularly focused on those items that he felt were most important and critical for the disciples to remember in the coming days. At this meal, as he's talking, Jesus washes their feet. He counsels them. He reveals that he's going to be betrayed by one of the disciples. So, of course, their next question is, which one of us? And he tells them it's the one that he gives this bread. He takes a piece of bread and he dips it in the wine. And he says, the one who takes this bread will be the one who will betray me. Right before this passage, Judas takes that piece of bread and we're told that he leaves. And it's in the midst of this coming betrayal, in the midst of this coming suffering and crucifixion, that Jesus announces that the Son of Man and God are glorified. This glory doesn't come amidst dazzling light and victory and triumph. No, it comes amid betrayal and darkness. The glory and the love that Jesus is describing is revealed in the sacrifice that is to come, and in the service and acceptance that Jesus modeled while he was on earth. And Jesus calls us to reflect and to share this love with each other and with the world around us. Even when the world remains hostile and seeks only division, remember how the world responds to this love of Jesus by crucifying him. But this is what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to let loose and to share such love for one another and for the world, washing each other's feet, acting sacrificially and as servants, radically welcoming and including outsiders and enemies alike, reflecting and sharing this outlandish love of the Father. It's how we're to be known and identified. It's a love that shows up in the midst of betrayal and death and hard moments. A love that shows up for the outcast and the exiled and the one lying in the ditch. Those of us who heard him talk know that Bishop Curry spoke about this love quite often. And he launched the Way of Love as an initiative for the church, saying that if it's not about love, it's not about Jesus. We did our own series on it here at St. David's many years ago. But I have to confess that while I appreciate and I understood his message, I often fail to follow it all the way to its desired endgame. It frequently becomes a litmus test to determine what is or isn't faithful, or what is or isn't Christ-like. But I think in its most complete expression, it's meant as a call to action. And what I mean is that the world seeks to define and to divide us, splitting us into groups that are set against each other. We're divided into parties, into groups, or even by issues. And as a result, we're either for or against something, and this determines our loyalties. And if we aren't careful, love can be used in this way as well. We're either loving or accepting, or we're the other. And if you are the other, then I don't agree with you, and we are at odds. We're on different sides. But this love that Jesus describes is bigger than worldly divisions and boundaries. It doesn't choose sides. It's a love that absorbs and destroys boundaries and walls. We can't use gospel love to create or to sow division. We're not meant to be pro or anti. We're called to be loving. We're not anti-hate. We're called to love those who hate us. It's what I meant when I said earlier that I often fail to take this idea of love to its end game. I frequently want to use love as this test so that I know who's on my side and who's against me, so I know who to trust and who to believe. But Jesus proclaims and demands this love from us in the midst of darkness and betrayal and crucifixion. So it must somehow triumph over the divisions of the world. It requires more from us, and it's meant to challenge us to our core. We can't use this love to mirror and reflect the divisions of the world. We have to remember that it isn't a test to determine who or what is faithful or Christ-like. It's a call to action, and it demands a response. And it's meant to overwhelm division and boundaries and separation. It demands acceptance and welcome and unification. And ultimately, this love is all around us, and it's within us, because we receive it first from God. We're asked to reflect it and to share it with the world around us. We must identify it when we see it by nourishing and praising and supporting its existence among us. This love should define us as Christians as much as worship or prayer or scripture define us. But it must not define us against any other group or person. It's an action. It's a way of life that defines us as this who show love and sacrifice, even in the midst of betrayal and suffering. A love that absorbs and crosses boundaries instead of defining or reinforcing them. It's a love that shines in the light and in darkness, and that overwhelms and consumes everything it encounters. It's a love that's meant to be shared, nurtured, and encouraged. A love that is poured out on us and on the world around us. So love one another, just as Jesus loves you. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.